I think it'd be good to put your listening ears on, okay? Father, may your anointing be upon her. Father, may as she opens her mouth, she speak your words, Lord, and your words would find a lodging place in our heart, Lord, and we would use them, not just store them away there, but apply them to our lives, that we could serve you, be your ambassadors, and Father, just have a closer walk with you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Is it on?
Yep.
No?
No.
Okay. Okay, good. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand with me, please? Glory to God, huh? Glory, glory, glory. We worship you, Lord. Praise you and thank you. Would you turn to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. And we're going to read 1 to 8. Okay, here we go. So then Jesus, he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And I'm going to say that again. That men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Saying, there was a certain city, a judge, who did not fear God, nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you, that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Father, we thank you again, once again, for your word. We thank you, Father, how you lead us and guide us by your word. Father, I pray, God, that each of us will have a spiritual awakening. Start with me, Lord, and be sensitized to your words, to your instructions, Lord God. That, Father, we would hold on to them until the Lord returns or until you take us home. We would hold on to them, Father, that they would be life to us, Lord God, and that we would walk, Lord God, worthy of your word and our calling, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now this judge, this unfair judge, he said, you know, I better do something about this woman until she wears me out. She's wearing me, she will wear me. What a persistent woman that was. You know, we're looking and we're realizing that we're living in hard times, but we all have the sense that things are going to get rough. They're going to get harder. We all have that sense. Amen? Amen? And the bride of Jesus, the bride of Christ, has made herself ready. Yes. She has made herself and prepared herself to be with him for eternity, but I also believe that scripture, she has made herself ready for the things that are coming. Right. And we are to be making ourselves ready. You can hear a word, you can read the word, but not be changed by it. When we open ourselves up, our hearts, our souls to God, and say, God, I take every ounce, every bit of your word, because I want to be delivered from myself and from anything else, and I want to be free, and I want to be right, and I want to be prepared. So this unfair, unjust judge said, before she wears me down, because she's been striking me with blows. And kind of that word weary actually means striking me with blows and giving the recipient a pair of black eyes. So this little woman would not give up. This little woman kept getting in his face, knocking on his door. Give me what I need. Give me what I need. Give me what I need. And he got to the place where, leave me alone. I believe this is what the bride will be like in the very end of time before the Lord comes back, strong and persistent. Men and women of God, don't give up. And Jesus is trying to get us to realize God's never-ending love and faithfulness to his children. We have to see it more and more. Everlasting love and faithfulness to his children. Have to believe it. Have to ask, God, open up my eyes and my senses to really see and know you, to know your heart more and more as time goes on, to really be able to say, I know the heart of God. I've got a handle on this because I know him. I know the master. I know the one who is in control. God will avenge the devil speedily, suddenly, unexpectedly. He will promptly act out of the blue to deliver his people. He will deliver his people. He has to hear the cry. Listen to this. He has to hear the cry of his son's bride that are on the earth. The spirit and the bride say, come. The spirit and the bride cry, come. And the father has to hear that cry become so intense that he decides to do something about it. And he will hear the bride, the spirit and the bride, creating an entrance for the Lord's return. See, that's what that is. Jesus. That's what that is. When the spirit and the bride are crying out, come Lord Jesus, they're actually making the way through the heavenlies, through the area where he, enemy, dominates, where the evil spirits are. And as she's crying out, she's creating like a road, you know, like an entranceway for the Lord to come. It's important. I believe he has to hear the voice of the Lord's bride crying out with the Holy Spirit, the two become one, and crying out for the same thing. You know, the spirit and the bride calling Lord Jesus to come is fascinating. It truly is. We don't understand it all. We don't see it all. But as time goes on, I believe things will be opened up to us more clearly, and we will know our calling in that day. But when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? That's how this whole portion of scripture I just read, that's how it ends. That, and it says, verse 7, And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, will the Son of Man, when he comes, will he really find faith on the earth? What a testing and time of trial it will be. But I believe that we are already getting prepared and being prepared by the Spirit of God. If we're walking with the Lord, if we're in the Word, if we're aware and not falling asleep, that there's a preparation taking place. And that's exciting. But will he really find faith on the earth? Oh, so now as we're talking about the working between the bride and the Holy Spirit, the working of the enemy is to snatch our faith, is to take away our faith, one blow after another blow, where we would say, how long, God? How long, Jesus, before you return and come take us? How long? Violent faith moves the heart of God. And I think we all know that we're in a war. I think we all know that. And your giftings, we each have giftings from God. They are your weapons. That's what they are. I'm going to be doing a series of teachings on the gifts, but it's like God is opening up a new dimension about it. But our giftings are and will be our weapons in the end times. That's where our anointing would be. And we have one main gift and then a lot of other gifts, okay? We have to stand up strong and know who we are in Christ Jesus. We're not ordinary people. We may act like ordinary people, but if the Spirit of God lives in us, we are a separated army, powerful for God, anointed for God. Amen, amen, amen. Give him that. So Jesus is looking for those who will trust his Father, who are living by faith. It will come to the place here on earth when the bride will have to live by faith. That's a message within itself. It'll come to a place where the bride will have to live by faith. Will we doubt as time goes on? Will we doubt his love, his care, his concern for us? Will we even doubt the Lord's return? Enemy will be right there to wear down the saints, to attempt to change their minds. There's going to be about an attack on our minds. To change their minds in believing about Christ's return. The bride has to not look to the left or to the right, but only upward, calling him down to come to her rescue. You can't look to the left or the right. It has to be like narrow sight, looking up. God gives us warnings. False teachers will come. We must commit ourselves to follow the narrow road to the end. For they will try to allure the church with a watered down gospel and making light of certain sins. I'm telling you, we haven't seen it yet. It has started. It has started. Absolutely. Absolutely. And these messages are going to lull some of the brides to sleep. Horrible. Make most of the opportunity we have in this hour. And every preacher stands before the Lord. He can't just put a nice word together, but has to hear from the heart of God. Father, what do you want to say? What do you want to speak? What do you want to tell your people? These watered down gospel messages and making light of certain sins. This is the time that the road gets narrower and narrower for the bride. You understand what I'm saying? And we have to walk this narrow road. Know what's on the right, know what's on the left. Don't look at it. But keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and Him alone. They will be liars, many, many liars, steering the church into false teachings, tempting to get our eyes off the truth. Some of the church will want to listen to them and are listening to them because it will feel like medicinal and lulling. Do you know what I'm saying? Oh, I need to hear something that's going to make me feel good. That's going to make me believe I'm resting in the Lord. It's okay. You know what rest brings? Sleep. Know your Bibles. Read your Bibles. Know the voice of God. Read it. Read it every day. Every day get in there. Read it. And ask the Holy Spirit, come alongside of me as I read the word. Enlighten it. Bring it to life to me. I want to know God. I want to know what God is saying. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Very little scripture here that is very powerful and important. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Hello, you go to church? You own a Bible? You pray? Examine yourselves to see, are you really in the faith? Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Is this a reality to you? That Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, resides inside of you? Is it a reality? Or is it just something that we say? Unless indeed you are disqualified. So I think that the writer was saying, you know, wake up and examine yourselves. Don't be so sure of things. Is there a possibility you might be starting to fall asleep? Examining ourselves to prove we are in the faith. You see, Paul had once again been warning the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians about sexual immorality. This was the church at that time. Sexual immorality. He had to speak to them about this. He says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know that Christ lives in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified? Be in the truth. It is the truth that sets us free. God, how do you see me? God, show me what you see. Good and bad. Sexual immorality. We are to be a holy people in a depraved world, separated unto Him. And that's what makes us shine. The glory of the Lord has risen upon me. Arise and shine. So when we are holy people in a depraved world, separated unto Him, that's what makes us shine. I belong to Him. I am His child. I want the mind of Christ. People, protect and guard your minds and your hearts. your minds. Everywhere you go, there's pollution. Everything you hear, you know what I'm trying to say? Yeah. It's so hard these days. It truly is so hard. It's like, this is okay now, and this is okay now, and this is okay now. I was telling my granddaughter yesterday, she was over, and we were talking about the word together, and I said to her, honey, there's the world, and then there's the kingdom. And she was like looking at me, the world, and then the kingdom. And you have to make a choice. Are you going to live in the world and walk in the world or in the kingdom? So then I started to tell her about the kingdom. And I said to her, do you realize how bad the world is getting? And so I started to talk to her about abortions, because you know what? She's hearing all of this, and I want her to hear from the Holy Spirit. And I said, it's a terrible thing. We started talking about that. I said, now they're pushing abortions can take place 28 days after the baby is born. I said, what is that? What is that? It's murder. And she looked at me, and she wanted to know more, and she wanted to know more, and she wanted to know more. Thank God. She's very open to the things of God. Thank God. I do thank you so much, Lord. And I pray for the next generation, God. And I pray, Father, that the church would come alongside of them, Father, with an anointing, Father. They will need older people. They will need spiritual moms and dads, Father, to show them what is right and what is wrong, oh God. I pray for that next generation, Lord, that you would surround them with truth. There's so much confusion. There's so many lies. It's hard to know the truth if they don't know you. God, I ask you, Father, to raise up people that will be praying more and more for that generation, and even taking time, Father, with that generation. Watch and pray. We're in a battle. Know what you need to pray for and how to pray. We will get specific instructions in these hours to know what you need to pray for and how to pray. If we sit and ask the Holy Spirit, come, Spirit of God, I want to hear you. Open up my ears. What do you want me to pray for? Because we are God's hands and legs and voices here on the earth. And the Holy Spirit is so willing, wants to, so strongly teach us, instruct us, and sensitize us. He's here with us. Don't just do your own thing every day, but be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and begin to move with him, because he will teach you what to pray for and how to pray. He will show you the dynamics. You ever say, I don't even know how to pray about this? Yes, yes. He will come and give you that wisdom and that leading and that guidance. He will do it. And you will find out, as the Spirit is leading you, how very, very powerful that prayer is. We are in a battle. Watch. Open eyes. Stay awake. Holy Spirit will direct you. Strengthen the gifts within you, the gifts inside of you. They are for this time and for others They are for others, the people around you. Strengthen your gifts, for they are your weapons. We are at war. Are you falling asleep? A little? Wow, this little woman would not give up in Luke chapter 18. Will not God bring about justice for his elect, the word of God says, who cry out to him day and night? Now that's what I see. I see a day and night, and I see this, the work of the Lord taking place here at Full Gospel, for a crying out day and night, for the bride begins to cry out day and night. It is written, right? Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word from the mouth of God. And God will one day say, my child, now I know you fear me. Hello, hello. There are scriptures. We love God. He's our daddy. He's our super daddy. But now I know that you fear me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The bride fears God in a holy, reverential way. Doesn't the word say, fear God and keep his commandments? If we don't fear God, we will not walk the narrow road. We will walk a very broad way. Isn't that funny, Broadway? Broadway. Like Broadway is on that broad, wide road. But we walk that narrow road because we are his children. And because if everything that we go through, we will become steady, pastor, strong, pastor, fearless, pastor, faithful, pastor, grounded, holy, filled, tenacious, keeping a firm hold on God's word. God is doing things, pastor. Let me just say that again. These things that we go through cause us to be steady and strong and fearless and faithful and grounded and holy and filled and tenacious and keeping a firm hold of God's word. That's what it does. See, he's reading the word and he's seeing things he didn't quite see like that before. Keeping our eyes on his love all the way to the end. Never, ever forget that God loves you. God's promises, keeping our eyes on God's promises, being unmovable, clinging closely, determined, having love and faith that will move mountains with unchangeable faith, with a strong desire to please him and a quest for his presence. That's living in the kingdom and not the world. It's where we are strengthened. Amen. Do you want me to read that again? Okay. Keeping our eyes on his love, his promises, with unmovable, clinging closely faith, determined, having love and faith that can move mountains, with unchangeable faith, with strong desire to please him and a quest for his presence. That's living in the kingdom and not in the world. It's where we are strengthened. You're being strengthened, my husband. Where we are strong, healthy, and full of peace. That is the kingdom living, where we are strong. We're living that way. We're tenacious. We're holding on. We're immovable. Unmovable? And we're healthy in that place, and we're filled with peace. Filled with peace. You know, I just felt that yesterday was such a beautiful day for me and my granddaughter. And we went to buy her a Bible, and we kept talking about God here and there while we were making pizza and we were making desserts. But it was just so sweet. And usually, I was in the kitchen for such a long time after going to two stores shopping with her. And usually, I'm in so much pain, you know, that kind of a day. My legs, the moving, the walking, and then standing in the kitchen for hours. How long were we in the kitchen? Half the day. And I kept saying to myself, this is miraculous. I don't have any pain in my legs or my feet. Miraculous. God was so near. And I believe that that's the way it's going to be even greater as we see the day approaching. We're going to feel the miraculous. Our bodies are going to respond to Him. Respond to Him, not the world. You understand? We are equipped. We are equipped and will be all the more as we see the day approaching. That's where we are strong, healthy, and filled with peace. Will he find earth? Will he find faith? It says, will he really find faith on the earth? Real faith on the earth when he comes. He can build his kingdom on that faith, that immovable foundation. Staying strong when he is silent is the hallmark of the last days. I'm going to say that again. I really believe this. Staying strong in the faith is the hallmark of the last days, the hallmark of the bride. Hallmark refers to any mark guaranteeing purity or genuineness, any sign outstanding talent, creativity, or excellence. When we don't hear his voice, will things get to the point? They did for David when David cried out, how long will you leave me alone? How long, God? Where are you? Because he used to hear the voice of the Lord. I don't know. But if we get to a place where we can't hear that voice, the hallmark of the last days will be that we will be strong in the Lord no matter what. Will it be a time of testing for the bride? Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that has already started. Father, I do pray, I do ask you, that any truth, Lord God, in this word will take its lodging place within us. That it will be a great big giant seed, Father. That it will grow, Father. That we will be alive to it, Lord. That we will walk in it, O God. All the truth, Lord, that sets us free from our old mindsets, from the ways of the world, O God, our own flesh, Lord. We hold on to truth. Keep it alive in us, Lord, as we continue in your word and watering what you are doing. We will be working out a purpose we cannot see. Right now, there's purpose in everything that we're going through, because we're his children, and there's purpose, and there's fruit, and there's change. Amen? God spoke every promise from a place of joy in his heart. You read the promises in the Word of God and memorize them, because if this is taken away from us, you've got it inside. No one can take that away. No one can come near or touch that inside of us. So take hold of those promises and read them and memorize them and walk in them and look into them, or look them up and know what those promises are. Every single promise, I believe, came from a place of joy in the Father's heart, gifts to us. Will we reach the same place David was in Psalm 13, when he said, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? David, the psalmist, that spent more time with the Lord than maybe any other person. All of a sudden, he couldn't feel the presence. All of a sudden, where are you? And how long will I wait for you to return that I can have that presence again? Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? Look at his mind, where his mind went when God went silent on him. What? Will you forget me? God, the Father, who created you, will forget you? Look at where his mind was, twisted. Because of sorrow and because he couldn't hear the voice of the Lord. What happens when you can't hear the voice of the Lord? This is what happens. But if you can hear the voice of the Lord, go after it even more. Call him down. Get his attention. Cry out day and night. Amen. We don't settle for anything less. Amen. We are the bride. Glory to God. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He may get quiet for a while, but I will believe that he's doing so much in us and so quickly at that time. He has his purposes. We don't understand it all. How long must I wrestle with my own thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? How long will my enemy triumph over me? No. Not for a moment, unless you leave God behind and do your own thing. Then tormentors will come. Amen? In verse 5, David said, he finally gets to the place where he says in Psalm 13, but I trust your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. And so David was, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? And the next moment, he's saying, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. God will never forsake us. Why is that? Why is that? Jesus covered that with his blood when he died on the cross and cried out, Father, why have you forsaken me for a moment in time? And I believe God allowed that because that's a blood covering for us. Do you understand what I'm saying? That he would allow his son to feel that, his very precious son, for us. God showed himself strong to David. He did. He showed himself strong and turned things around. I wonder if we will start to have doubts in the future. You know, if Peter was here, one of the disciples, he would say, oh, no, Lord, not me. Wouldn't he? Oh, no, Lord, maybe all of them, but not me. Remember when Peter said that? And he tripped over his own words, right? That's okay. Because when he was revived in the Holy Spirit, he was never the same again. You are his beloved. He longs to be with you in heaven, God the Father. He can't wait to get all his kids up there. Can't wait to have us there where he is. And he promised his son we would be there with him. Will he break his promises? Absolutely no. Not. Why am I saying all of this? Well, I'm trying to warn you. It is so easy to turn everything off and just go to sleep when we're disappointed or weary. But the Word of God warns us not to fall asleep. Sometimes when things are too much for us, we're going through a lot, you just want to like curl into bed and fall asleep because you don't think about it. It's a way of the enemy, amen? It's so easy to turn everything off and go to sleep when we're disappointed or weary. We must not become weary. We must keep our eyes, hearts, and minds on Him, His goodness, His love, His faithfulness. Now is the time to prepare for the hour coming. The Living Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, so let us not grow tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. I remember when I was pregnant and I was in labor and the labor got so bad, I said, you know what? Forget about this. I'm going to go home. I'm not going to give birth. I guess I was under a little anesthesia at the time. But I said, forget it. I changed my mind. I'm going home. That's silly. There's an appointed time, and there is no need to Him to repeat Himself. I'm talking about God. There is an appointed time coming. God will do the miraculous for us. But there's no need for Him to repeat Himself. You have the Word. The bride makes herself ready for what is coming. That's a different twist, isn't it? It's always the bride is making herself ready for the Lord's return, you know, or to go call Him down and go up with Him. But also, she needs to get herself ready in these times for what is to come, to be mindful and not fall asleep. How? The mind? She keeps her mind pure and stands strong in the Lord. She resists sin and evil and keeps her mind on Him because she trusts in Him. Learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord. Learn now. Don't wait for the worst of times. Learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord. And I told you, go back and read all the stories of how God moved for His people. Right? Read them. Get them in your spirit. God will move for you. She resists evil and sin and keeps her mind on Him because she trusts in Him. Learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord now. Psalm 30. Do I have that here? No. Psalm 30, and it's, we'll look at it. Let's turn to Psalm 30. Yes. Let's look at this for a moment. We'll start at Scripture 4. Psalm chapter 30, 4. We'll start at 4. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. For His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Now His anger for the world will be displayed, and we may be in the middle of that, but that anger is not for us. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. David said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. Okay, then what? You hid your face, and I was troubled. Look at this. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? David, you're losing it. Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. Now he goes back again. You have put off sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. Oh, Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. There's some flesh there, right? But the spirit in him rises up. The spirit of him takes over. And he knows to the end his glory. He will sing praise to God and not be silent. Oh, Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. And so there was a struggle there, but look at what God did. God helped him see what was true and hold on to the truth. The enemy will attack silently. He has a plan. Keep that faith alive in your heart. Praise God. Thank him. Glorify him. And look back at how God has been faithful to you. Always keep his goodness in the forefront of your mind. And that is key. Always keep his goodness in the forefront of your mind. See it. Always. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. God will be good to me to the end. God will be good. God will be God to the end and good to us. If we are sensitive in the spirit to God, we can hold on to everything. That's why it's important to become sensitized, to be sensitive, to read the word, to keep your spirit and your soul alive and your mind on him. Because then you will hear him through the darkest of days. You will feel him through the worst of times. And you will know that he is with you. And we have to stay strong even when he is silent. And yet give thanks. Iniquity will abound. The love of many will grow cold. The church will be under attack. We haven't seen it yet. People will be mocking us more than ever. Do you know that those people out there that are not walking with God, a lot of those people hate born again Christians? Do you realize that hatred is growing? It's growing. We are not one of them, and it's growing. But we're here for a reason, and we're here for a reason at this time. We haven't seen it yet. People will be mocking more and more. We're coming against what they believe is right and what they want. Some will leave the faith because of pressure. Listen, the Bible speaks of not a little falling away, a great falling away. Why? The things that are coming. Now, people, you're sitting under this. You're hearing this message. You have to now, this day, this hour, this moment, I will never. You've got to sink your toes into the sand deep, deep, deep. You understand? And I believe that these words will be alive in all of us forever until we come face to face with the Lord. Make up our minds now. I will not be moved. But watch and pray. And your giftings, that's why the giftings are so important. They are your weapons, and they will come alive like we haven't seen that yet. We haven't felt it yet. We haven't experienced it yet, the way we will be moving in our giftings. So we have to keep looking up, not like Lot's wife. God sent help for them. He came for her. But she looked back. He said, don't look back. She looked back into the world, and she had a lust for the world. And that showed God she really didn't want to go and leave with him. And in one moment, oh my gosh, in one moment, she glanced back. That's why I was trying to tell my granddaughter yesterday, there's the world, and then there's a kingdom. Don't get all entangled in the world. There's a much better place for you. It's called the kingdom. Must keep looking up, not like Lot's wife, who loved the world. She loved her life. We will have to go all the way with Christ, and there will be a battle to maintain. We'll be talking about in the near future, you know, all of that. Spiritual warfare, your giftings, the battle. But we have to train ourselves to do warfare. We have to train it. It has to become a fiber inside of us, a part of our lives. And do you understand what I'm saying? Warfare. To walk with him. And all of a sudden to make ourselves available to him to do warfare. It may be for you. It may be for a loved one. It may be for a neighbor. It may be for kids in schools. My granddaughter, how old is Jamie? 30s. She called me the other day, and she said that she lives in North Carolina in what they call the Bible Belt. And she said that, Mimi, she said, in the hospital where I work, there are so many born-again Christians. My neighbors, there are so many. And I can't believe that in the school here, she said, I read about it, they want to start a Satanist club. And they want to start with third graders. She said, what do I do? I said, what do you do? Start making calls. I said, there's a lot of born-again Christians around you. Let everybody know this is, they're trying to make this take place. And you get together. And you call a meeting with the principal of that school. You're taxpayers, but more than that, even if you weren't, you cannot put up with this. We have to defend the children. Thank you, Lord. Train ourselves to do warfare. We have to become self-denying. That's the job. If we listen to the Holy Spirit, he helps us. He changes us. He makes us tough, strong, but soft and tender with the Lord. When you get a chance, if you want to read about the persecution that's coming, read Luke chapter 21. But right now, I will speak of Matthew 24, 11 to 13, where it says, false prophets will deceive many. Now, they have to be Christians to be deceived. That's what we're talking about. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Lukewarmness is dangerous. Many in the church will grow cold. What? Falling away. Great falling away. You know what that means? We have to get hotter and hotter in love for each other. Glow and shine with fire for each other. For each other. You understand what I'm saying? For each other. We are a community. We are a family. We must love each other. We must help each other. We must protect each other. We must be entering the throne room with warfare for each other. We stick like glue. We are a family, the family of God. And we have to walk through these dark days with each other on our hearts. You understand what I'm saying? That will keep us strong. It's what God the Father, who calls himself Father, wants his children to be like. To have that strong, strong love for each other. If we have to stay up all night and pray for somebody, you know, to be attentive, to be awake, and to be willing. That's the church. God will respond to those who cry out to him day and night. We read that. Day and night. So the lukewarmness is so dangerous. The Lord is going to come suddenly, unexpectedly perhaps, for you. For you. For you. He's coming back for you. He will not forget you. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers." Watchful. "And above all things, have fervent love one for another." Above all things. One for another. And that fervent, that means displaying a passionate intensity. Thank you, Lord. "Keep awake, be sober. The pressure of worldliness will become greater as the end draws near. Therefore, all the more stay sober in prayer and do not lose heart." I'm closing. Luke 12, scripture 32. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." God's heart is and has always been inclined to help those who cry out to him. Will not God vindicate his elect? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11 says, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." You can look that up. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 to 11. If we do what things? All of the things that I've been sharing. If Jesus came, people, brothers and sisters, if Jesus came and died for you, won't he keep his word and come back for you? Stand with me, please. My sister, would you come here? No. My sister, Maddie, would you come here? Did you hear this message?
Sure.
Yes. Would you pray?
Got me on the spot.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Bread of life, bread of heaven, wind of the Holy Spirit, come and permeate each one of us and equip us, Lord, and cause us to understand that you are the God of the past and the present and the future. And the future, Lord God, is bright as the promises of God. And we pray as we've heard all the words of life and beauty, Lord God, I pray that we will just ingest and welcome you in our everyday life to keep our back strong, to be strong in you, Lord God, to, oh Father God, have that fire of your Holy Spirit working in us and through us so that we will not give way to the works of the enemy. Yeah. Because the enemy is defeated by your word, and your word is power. Yeah. Your word is life. Yeah. Your word is food. Your word is drink. Oh God, we pray. Help us, Lord. You always are so kind and faithful. And you work with each one of our personalities because you are kind and gentle. And you work within our giftings, Lord, that our giftings will be so pronounced and elaborate, Lord God, that when people see us, they will feel and will find the presence of God. When the disciples walked, Lord God, oh Father, miracles took place, the healing took place. Lord God, help us to extend and be your hands and feet and eyes, and help us to have eyes of compassion when we see people and to be moved, Lord God, to glorify your name. Help us to be workers. Help us not to slack, Lord God. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you. If you want to get a copy of this message, give it to somebody, whatever, you can let Mike know, okay? Thank you. Yes, we have a testimony. Those of you that have to leave, that's fine. Others, if you would stay and hear a testimony. About 5 minutes?
Yeah. I just wanted to share that for many years I've been praying for my sons, as well as for other people. My older son has been suffering from panic attack disorders for 18 years and is really literally can't leave his house or get on a plane or anything. He has two kids and he's learning, you know, about being a parent. And he's been, you know, I preach to him and talk to him all the time. And last Friday, I called him up on the phone and was talking to him about the Word of God, and which he's been looking into more and more. Back when he was 22, he wrote a song. He's a songwriter and was in the band, and he wrote a song challenging the devil to a duel in Times Square. And ever since that time, he's been under attack. So I prayed with him on the phone that the Lord would bind the devil, take him out of his life, and make him be able to walk and raise his kids in the name of Jesus. And his little son is constantly, he asked him to buy him a cross for his room, and he walks up to him and he goes, "See, Dad, this is Jesus. Give Jesus a kiss." And how the Lord has worked even through this little child to touch his heart. Well, after we prayed on the phone, he was hysterical crying with me on the phone. And he just said, "I'm just so wrought with pain and fear." And I said, "Justin, there's nothing to fear." I said, "Because the Lord will give you the peace of your heart once you give yourself over to him. You must surrender and acknowledge what he's done for you and that he rose from the dead." And right after that, he went to walk his son to school. And his son had been digging in the garden bed in front of his house with a shovel. And he comes back and he finds two Sacred Heart candles in the holes where my grandson dug. And he took that as a sign and he went back and he started reading the word more and more. And he was questioning himself about, "I work in this rock and roll world. It's so dark. It's so hard." He said, "You know, I don't understand it." And then he said, I went to open the Bible, and I opened it up, and the verse that I opened up to was Psalm 6, where it talks about the musicians, because I always told him, your words of what you write in your songs will touch the hearts of many people, and you have an opportunity through your creativity that God gave you to touch other people. And it was just, again, another confirmation. So the Lord, every day, he listens to our prayers. He walks with us. He's just such a great Lord that I feel so blessed to have God in my life. And it's just, it's the best. Just the best.
Thank you so much. Glory to God. Amen. God bless you.
You were crucified and laid behind the stone. You lived and died, rejected and